The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Unimaginable challenges continue to close in on us all. This is not speculation, but verifiable fact. The human race has decimated the once thriving biosphere on which all of our lives depend. We've not shot ourselves in the foot. Rather, metaphorically speaking, as a species, we've collectively shot ourselves in the head multiple times. Now there's no going back. What will each of us decide to do when faced with dire truths? Will we hide in the shadows, hoping everything will magically work itself out, which isn't going to happen? Or will we summon our sense of purpose and responsibility to the whole? Will we choose to dedicate ourselves to the fight for the greater good while it can still make a difference? The unfolding crisis in Puerto Rico is a snapshot of what's coming for the whole of industrialized, militarized society. It's not a matter of if, but when. There are too many critical breaking headlines to completely cover in this commercial-free hour broadcast, but stick with me, I'll do my best to connect some of the most important pieces of the puzzle. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to Global Alert News for September 30th, 2017. This weekly Global Alert News Hour is commercial-free, brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org. The news, again, you may not want to hear, but need to know. This program is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network and others that are picking this show up, because we certainly don't charge anything for others to use this show. We encourage it to be rebroadcast. That's something that all of us can do in your local region, is try to encourage stations to pick this program up. Very easy for them to do so because there's no monetization of the program. We ask nothing. There's no commercials. Very easy for other stations to pick this up and broadcast it to help get critical information out. If you're in the Redding area of Shasta County, again, free materials are there provided by geoengineeringwatch.org that cover the critical climate engineering issue, the vaccination danger issue, and the 9/11 issue. You can get materials there if you'll promise to help us share them with others. Help us wake others up. We'll try to provide materials as much as we can, as long as we can. Wish to also this week announce the Jim Fair event in San Diego, California. Started yesterday, continuing through tomorrow at the Scottish Rite Event Center in San Diego. Just look up the Jim Fair, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E, homepage, and you can find out the details for that event next weekend, October 6th through the 8th in Sacramento, California, the Scottish Rite Center there. Jim Fair is a staunch supporter of geoengineeringwatch.org and the effort to expose and stop geoengineering. There's a full informational booth at the Jim Fair events, free materials there as well. Our latest 20-page booklets, commercial DVDs, flyers. Go to Jim Fair, show your support, pick up free materials, help us to wake others. Time is not on our side. I want to jump into headlines. There's too much to cover. I'll do my best. And there's so many unfolding, breaking scenarios that it's difficult in this time frame to keep up with them all. But let's see what we can do. Here's a few recent headlines that will lead us to truly dire headlines on which everything else depends. And I'll get to that after these headlines. Stick with me again. I'll try to connect the dots in this broadcast. And everything's connected in the end, isn't it? World Economic Forum warns of vast numbers of jobs being disrupted by automation and robots. No surprise there. And stick with me. I'm going to try to connect this fairly quickly because there's, again, not enough time. Debt boom in India and China threatens new financial crisis, warns World Economic Forum. Something to consider here again. There is no global economy when the biosphere implodes. The biosphere has historically supplied 75% of all global GDP for free, no longer. As the biosphere implodes, the facade of the global industrialized economic scenario will implode with it. Another headline, oil analysts baffled as Venezuela ditches petrodollar. For those who don't understand what the petrodollar is, the U.S. after World War II forced other countries to use the U.S. dollar to buy oil. And that's why the empire became so powerful, because They printed the dollars, as many as they wanted. That's why the dollar is the global reserve currency, but other countries have had enough of the empire. They're disconnecting, and why would this be a surprise to analysts? Shouldn't be a surprise. U.S. dollar no longer the dominant haven. This is another headline. U.S. dollar no longer the dominant haven currency, analysts say. Empire is beginning to collapse. Not a moment too soon for the planet either. If we look at the raging damage being done, so much of it by the U.S. military intervening in other countries to try to acquire resources, decimating those countries as they go. And remember the story I covered in a previous program, that now available data indicates that all the, for example, massive oil fires that happened in Iraq that were blamed on the Iraqi soldiers were actually done by the U.S. military for a distraction and a diversion. Think of the environmental consequences from that. Largest single polluter on the planet, U.S. military. Largest single consumer of fossil fuels on the planet, U.S. military. Consider all that. And this is why the intervention programs around the globe that the U.S. military is spearheading under the guise of, quote, spreading freedom and democracy needs to be seen for what it is, an absolute lie. Another headline, more than a million people join ranks of very wealthy after stock markets boom. Stock market, complete facade, complete house of cards by the printed fiat money, as I just stated, the petrodollar, the dollar is the global reserve currency. They print as much as they want, pump the stock markets up, pacify the American population by making a few of them rich, while the entire planet implodes around us. Another headline, the top 1% of Americans now control 38% of the wealth. No surprise there. The rich get richer, especially those that print the dollars. I want to, as the biosphere implodes, again, highlight one story before I get to other headlines that are really the more important bottom line, but I want to highlight an example of what's happening in other countries. Again, with the U.S. Army military recruiting commercials claiming that we're all spreading freedom and democracy, a total lie. It's an effort to gain resources and control. That's what it's always been about. Here's one snapshot of what's happening in Syria that our news doesn't tell us. Russian special forces repel a U.S. planned attack in Syria. Not about freedom and democracy. This headline, Russian special forces repel a U.S. planned attack in Syria, denounce the USA, and issue a stark warning. From this report, this is important because the U.S. and our ever more desperate power structure, and it's not just the U.S. We have a Western global power structure that's part of who is manipulating the U.S., but they are absolutely desperate. As the biosphere implodes and they run out of options, they are pushing toward World War III. From this report, from a little over a week ago, something rather unprecedented just happened in Syria. U.S.-backed good terrorists. The U.S. calls them good terrorists. Forces attempted a surprise attack against Syrian government forces stationed to the north and northeast of the city of Hama. What makes this attack unique is that it took place inside the so-called de-escalation zone, and that it appears that one of the key goals of this attack was to encircle and capture a Russian platoon of U.S. military police officers deployed to monitor and enforce the special status in the zone, the ceasefire. The Russian military police forces, composed mainly of soldiers from the Caucasus region, fought against a much larger enemy force and had to call for assistance. For the first time, at least officially, Russian special forces were deployed to rescue and extract their comrades. At the same time, Russians sent a number of close air support aircraft who reportedly killed several hundred good terrorists, the U.S.'s sponsored good terrorists, and beat them back. The attack, the Russian sources speak of the destruction of, during the attack, the destruction of 850 fighters, 11 tanks, 3 infantry fighting vehicles, 46 armed pickup trucks. Does anybody wonder where all that equipment comes from for the, quote, good terrorists? Guess where it comes from. Our proxy wars in other countries sponsored by the U.S. government. That's where it's all coming from, destabilizing nations, destroying the environment, as I just stated earlier in this broadcast, wreaking havoc, trying to gain control of resources. What also makes this event unique is the official reaction by the Russians to this event. The head of the main operations department of Russia's general staff stated this, quote, despite agreements signed on September 15th, gunmen of the al-Nusra and joining them units that don't want to comply with the cessation of hostility in terms, again, these are the friendly terrorists sponsored by the United States, launched a large-scale offensive against positions of government troops north and northeast of Hama from 8 a.m. on September 19th. According to available data, the offensive was initiated by American intelligence services to stop a successful advance of government troops east of Deir ez-Zor. So we have the U.S. intelligence services sponsored, quote, friendly terrorists stopping the Syrian government's attempt to put an end to the terrorism and the carnage in their country. Over and over and over, and broadcast after broadcast, I've covered this. How many countries have been laid waste to by our government and their attempt to acquire power, control, and resources? And that is the purpose of the U.S. military, which is unfortunately nothing more than a mercenary force for the Western power structure at this point. Our military brothers and sisters need to wake up and understand that reality. They are not protecting the American population. I'll get to Puerto Rico in a moment as a stunning example of that truth. Let me finish with this report. This move is unprecedented on many levels. First, the Russians clearly believe that this attempt to kill or capture a platoon of the Russian military police was planned by the United States. The fact that they are making this accusation officially shows the degree of irritation felt by the Russians about the duplicity of the Americans. Yes, duplicity is putting it mildly. Total hypocrisy, criminal behavior by our government sponsoring and fueling terrorism in other countries, which we have done all around the globe for too many years to recall or recount, from Central America to countless other countries. And this is a historical record. Again, anyone can look up how many countries has the U.S. invaded and or occupied in the last 100 years. It's staggering to look at the list. And yet we're told this is all about freedom and democracy. We're told we're fighting the terrorism while we're actually fueling it, funding it, spawning it. This is what's really happening. Final statement from this report. A U.S. organized attack on what was supposed to be a de-conflict zone combined with an attempt to capture Russian soldiers raises the bar for American duplicity to a totally new level. Imagine if the Russians had tried to do that to American soldiers. Imagine, or if the Russians had sponsored terrorists verifiably that tried to capture and or kill U.S. soldiers. Imagine the reaction with the U.S. population. But yet, when it occurs the other way around, Americans don't seem to want to even know. And the lies of omission from mainstream media that omit any story like this is criminal. It's absolutely criminal. I'm not saying the Russian government is benign. I'm not saying the Chinese government is benign. But who's pushing and prodding toward World War III right now? It's our desperate U.S. military industrial complex that knows one goal, one objective, to expand at any cost to the planet or to anyone. That's the reality. Now, for the population that doesn't seem to react to what's going on around them, from biosphere implosion to an out-of-control military-industrial complex, I want to cover one quick story before I get to the rest of the headlines in Puerto Rico, and that is an example of what's coming for us all. Here's the headline. Higher levels of fluoride in urine linked to lower IQ score in children. What a surprise. From this report, for years, many communities have added fluoride to drinking water to help reduce cavities, but a new study that has now found a link between fluoride levels in pregnant women and lower intelligence in their children provides further ammunition for those who are calling for the practice to stop. Final sentence in this report. In the first study of its kind, investigators at the University of Toronto and Harvard School of Public Health and other institutions have found a link between fluoride in urine of pregnant women and lower IQs in their children. Why is this a surprise? And yet people still embrace this massive lie of dumbing down the population. That's exactly what it is. So back to the story I covered on Russia and the hypocrisy and ambivalence of the U.S. population and what their government is doing around the globe, waving their flags, pretending to be patriotic, when truly that behavior is nothing more than tyranny. And is the efforts of the power structure to literally dumb down the populations with fluoride, with toxic vaccinations that have toxic heavy metals in them, connected autism rates escalating in the last 40 plus years, escalating in the range of 40,000% from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 25 in boys now, a virtual epidemic of autism. And as we see, even those who are not diagnosed with autism have lower IQs from a number of factors, and it's not just the fluoride, it's not just the aluminum and mercury in the vaccinations, it's the combination of all of those. And let's not forget, we all get to breathe aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, lead in our air now because of climate engineering. And if you think the military-industrial complex cares at all for your health, you're sadly mistaken. As I've stated in broadcast after broadcast, and as the facts from the front line prove, populations are not just expendable to the power structure at this point. They are an increasing liability. And we are seeing examples of what the power structure is now willing to do. About such glaring examples of what's coming for all of us in industrialized, militarized societies, Puerto Rico. And keep this in mind. The weather events that inflicted this mortal blow to Puerto Rico were absolutely and inarguably manipulated. No matter what debate there may be on the many motives of the power structure and the climate engineers, which they control, there's no question that the hurricanes Irma and Maria were manipulated by patented processes of cyclone intervention, which include radio frequency, microwave transmissions, and atmospheric aerosol dispersions sprayed from jet aircraft. To be clear, no one is saying that our rapidly warming world doesn't produce more powerful and more frequent cyclones on its own. But cyclone manipulation programs have been a matter of historical record for over 70 years, with Project Cirrus in 1947 being the inception of that. Research more at geoengineeringwatch.org. Weather warfare is the crown jewel of the military-industrial complex. On to Puerto Rico and the manipulated cyclones that slaughtered Puerto Rico, by the way, after a 4,300-plus day hurricane drought because those cyclones were being suppressed. And now, at minimum, we know the cyclones that hit Puerto Rico and Cuba and Houston and Florida were not only not suppressed, but they were allowed to spin up at minimum to full strength, which nature does fine on its own in this rapidly warming world. And they were steered. And that's the bottom line here. Whatever the agendas, we can say conclusively with the data we've recorded and look at geoengineeringwatch.org. Again, you can search under the Irma post, the Harvey post, and look at the animations we have capturing radio frequency transmissions affecting and steering the storms. Look for yourself. So now let's get on to Puerto Rico and try to build a little bit of a history of the power structure's attitude toward Puerto Rico in the times leading up to this recent cataclysm there. This is a headline from just over a year ago. I want to build into where we're going here. Bear with me. The plot against Puerto Rico. Washington set the small island up to fail, and now that the territory is on the verge of financial collapse, Congress is washing its hands of the blame. This article was authored by Michael Moran in April of 2016. I would encourage everyone to read this article. I will include it in the post for this week's radio broadcast at geoengineeringwatch.org. Another headline, this one from last week, disaster capitalism in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, climate change on the margins of empire. That's the title. This is by Ken Orphan. And consider this, that again, climate engineering is not mentioned in so many articles that are otherwise important. We must add that in on our own. There's no question climate engineering is disrupting the climate all over the globe, now on a scale that's absolutely aggressively blatant with the recent rash of cyclone impacts or from directed storms. And right now in Puerto Rico, an American island, over 3.4 million people is in ruins thanks to the rampage of two major hurricanes, Irma and Maria, respectively. Most are facing months without electricity. Many are homeless. More face poor access to fresh drinking water. Farms have been razed to the ground, and the specter of disease looms over flooded towns and toxic industrial and military Superfund sites. Already there. Consider that. Toxic industrial and military Superfund sites. Our military has trashed that country before Puerto Rico kicked our military out of their province. Officials on the island have described the situation as, quote, apocalyptic. Puerto Rico seldom gets much coverage in the U.S. mainland press because it lies in the gray zone of empire. In fact, polling has demonstrated that most Americans don't even realize it's a part of the U.S. But it was one of the first victims of American global expansion and hegemony, following the Spanish colonialism and served as a base of operations for the U.S. military in its forays throughout the Caribbean and Central America. It was never granted statehood, thanks in part to many Puerto Ricans who resisted American occupation, but also due to elites in Washington for its geopolitical advantage to the U.S. As a result, this marginalized status, its residents cannot vote in national elections, and it has scant control over internal issues when it comes to neoliberal austerity measures, U.S. military installations, and environmental protections. Very convenient for the U.S. military and the empire. In recent years, it has been put in the vice grip of debt by vultures on Wall Street, much like Greece, Spain, and Argentina. And with increasing swaths of the planet engulfed in climate chaos, no mention of climate engineering, and again, you can't have a legitimate discussion about the climate without including climate engineering first and foremost. It's been ensnared, Puerto Rico, in a widening circle of, quote, sacrifice zones, where residents of impoverished neighborhoods, cities, and regions are largely left to fend for themselves when faced with pollution, climate change, i.e., or climate engineering, related disasters, and ecological destruction. Puerto Rico is another early example of the world to come. In truth, most of the world's population already lives in some form of this dystopia. But it is the future for the rest of us, as I stated earlier in this broadcast. Thanks to the current course of unrestrained production and consumption of fossil fuels and the corruption, greed, and apathy of the global elite. The epitome of which, this article doesn't state this, but I'm stating it, the epitome of that insanity, craving for power, and corruption is climate engineering. Climate engineering is the epitome of human insanity. It is pushing us all towards certain near-term global omnicide. Climate engineering is on top of all the other forms of anthropogenic damage to the planet, which many, even in the anti-geoengineering community, unfortunately are not yet ready to admit to. We have to admit to that if we're to stand on solid ground. The human race has been unimaginably poor stewards of the planet from countless directions. If we ignore that, we're every bit as much in denial as those who ignore climate engineering. We have to admit to all of it. But on top of all the anthropogenic damage to the planet, climate engineering is the final nail in our collective coffins, if it continues. Final paragraph from this report. So how will the powerful respond to a future of disasters and chaos for essentially anyone who isn't part of the wealthy elite? The answers can perhaps be gleaned from a tweet President Trump sent out on Monday, his first response to the devastation in Puerto Rico a full 5 days after the hurricane made landfall, was this. He began by saying the island had, quote, massive debt that's owed to Wall Street and the banks, and which, quote, must be dealt with. This was the first priority given, not the welfare of the people or the environment, but how much the beleaguered people of Puerto Rico owed to the vulture capitalists and extortionists on Wall Street. It doesn't get much simpler than that, does it? That's the bottom line. For those who think the dark powers in our government wouldn't willfully do this to Puerto Rico for many reasons to suit their own agendas, think again. Think again. Another headline along these lines. Military conducting multiple operations to help Hurricane Maria struck Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands. As I stated in previous broadcasts, such disasters are always the key to the door for the military-industrial complex to move back in where it wants to be. And I'm not saying the Puerto Rican people don't need help. Of course they do. But this is always the key to the door for the military-industrial complex. Over and over, we see it in the Philippines, in Haiti, countless other countries. They get a foothold, and they keep it. Continuing from this report, the Defense Department has dispatched about 2,600 troops to aid Hurricane Maria victims in the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico, where access to power and communications remained severely limited after the Category 4 storm struck the U.S. territory. Another headline. Let's keep this moving so we can understand how this all connects. The latest. Pentagon boosts troop numbers in Puerto Rico. The Pentagon is greatly increasing the active duty forces being sent to help relief efforts in Puerto Rico. Again, no surprise. In this case, disaster reaction solution does apply. It absolutely applies. This is a business model as usual for the military industrial complex. And again, I want to clarify on the storms happening around the globe. There is immense pressure built up in the climate system from the damage that's been done to the planet by the human race on countless fronts, with climate engineering at the top of the list. But the disaster capitalist will always manipulate and use such disasters to fit their agenda. Final sentence from this report: the Pentagon is greatly increasing the active duty military forces being sent in to help, increasing troop numbers from about 2,500 now to possibly double that number in the next several days. I suspect that number will still continue to increase after that. Another headline also fits into this theme. Quote, lawmakers say Trump's 10-day shipping waiver not enough for Puerto Rico. Lawmakers say that the President Trump's 10-day shipping waiver for Puerto Rico, this is the Jones Act, by the way, does not go far enough to address the growing crisis on the island, where residents are facing widespread food, water, and first aid shortages after Hurricane Maria. For those who don't know what the Jones Act is, it's basically a form of extortion from Costa Rica, forcing them to pay much, much more for shipping. And Trump gives a 10-day waiver? That's nothing but show. That's all. Nothing but show. And it reflects the true underlying motive and mentality by the power structure toward Puerto Rico. It's not about the good of the Puerto Ricans, obviously. Puerto Rico has fought against the power structure during its history. Most recently, last year, as I stated on a previous program, the leader of Puerto Rico banned the use of NALED, the neurotoxin being sprayed under the guise of mosquito abatement, sprayed on Houston populations, Florida populations, a known and recognized, acknowledged neurotoxin. Why would any sane person want that sprayed on them? And Puerto Rico fought and refused that. Puerto Rico also booted the U.S. military from their country, or from their province, I should say. Many, many potential reasons. And on the bigger backdrop picture, the biosphere is imploding. That can't be hidden much longer. I'll get to those headlines in a moment. And this is fueling the increased blatant desperation of a power structure that is completely out of control. And the U.S. military is the tip to that spear at this point. We need to face that. We need to deal with it. We need to wake up our military brothers and sisters so that they understand they are nothing more than paid mercenaries for a completely out of control power structure at this point. And all the freedom and democracy military commercials are not reality. Not reality. Another headline. Let's consider the following headline that was published just after Hurricane Irma damaged Puerto Rico, but before Hurricane Maria finished Puerto Rico off with total decimation. Here's the headline. Hurricane Irma unleashes the forces of privatization in Puerto Rico. Vultures circling the wreckage of Puerto Rico in the wake of Hurricane Irma are closing in on a long-sought prize, the privatization of the island's electric utility. Let's stand back and consider this. So the disaster capitalists from Wall Street are unable to, in any other way, force the Puerto Ricans to abandon their electric utility and privatize it. And now that they're brought to their knees, this privatization becomes a likely reality. Start connecting the dots. This is, again, only one part of the potential agenda. There's a much bigger backdrop on a planet that's imploding, atmosphere filling with methane, oceans collapsing. We have crops collapsing, ecosystems collapsing all over the globe. There's a much bigger backdrop. But there are also the disaster capitalists who will do their best to fill their pockets with loot as the ship goes down. And that's what's happening. And again, though there's many agendas being carried out by the recent rash of geoengineered weather warfare that's been carried out against not just Puerto Rico, but other parts of the U.S. population, is one of them a beta test for the coming collapse of societies all over the globe? A test for the U.S. military to give them experience at responding to societies that are descending into total anarchy because there's not enough to eat or drink. The law of the jungle ensues when that happens, and it's coming all over the globe. It's coming. There is not enough to go around. Anyone who denies that is not looking at frontline facts. And as these facts unfold, what do we generally have the power structure and the mainstream media they control do? They create events of mass distraction that mean virtually nothing against the backdrop of the bigger picture. What do we have? I'm going to diverge for one moment, then I'll get to the frontline headlines that really matter. But the NFL event of orchestrated mass public distraction. How many were caught up in that, again, while the planet implodes around us? I want to make one brief point, then I'll move on to headlines. Psychoanalysts describe Mr. Trump as a malignant narcissist. Look it up, because professionals in their field who have nothing to gain and everything to lose are making this analogy based on the observations that we can all see. There seems to be a strong agreement of this fact, again, among qualified professionals in the field of psychology. When this fact is pointed out, how many Trump supporters then jump to the conclusion that anyone who brings up such a fact must be, by default, an Obama or Clinton supporter? And such a knee-jerk conclusion is a telltale sign of an ingrained dichotomous form of thinking, the this or that black and white thought processes. Trump, the Obamas, the Clintons, the Bushes, and the rest that have held the office of the presidency are all in one or more various categories of narcissism, sociopath, pathological liars, etc. And this is the most important point of all. Each of the individuals who have been, quote, elected to the highest office in this country were all only puppets in the play that is orchestrated by those behind the curtain who are truly the ones pulling the strings of the puppets, something we must always consider and remember. And now let's get to headlines that are the bottom line. This is from last week. Sixth mass extinction of wildlife also threatens global food supplies. Again, headline from last week, and as you remember, my criticism of several headlines from multiple sources that tried to pretend that such an extinction was somewhere off on the horizon at the end of the 21st century, a blatant, glaring lie of pacification to try to put the population to sleep for a little bit longer while the power structure prepares for what's coming. From this headline, sixth mass extinction of wildlife also threatens global food supplies. Plant and animal species that are the foundation of our food supplies are as endangered as wildlife, but this gets almost no attention, a new report reveals. And as I've stated in previous programs, no attention that our food supplies are collapsing as well, and the $20 billion worth of food being imported from countries that are starving to death to keep U.S. shelves stocked, again, to pacify the U.S. population as long as possible. The report continues. The sixth mass extinction of global wildlife is already well underway, and it is seriously threatening the world's food supplies, according to experts. Quote, huge proportions of the plant and animal species that form the foundation of our food supply are just as endangered as wildlife and are getting almost no attention, said Ann Tutwiler, Director General of Biodiversity International, a research group that published a new report on Tuesday of last week. If there is one thing we cannot allow to become extinct, it is the species that provide the food that sustains each and every one of the 7 billion people on our planet, she said in an article for The Guardian. This agrobiodiversity is a precious resource that we are losing, and yet it can also help solve or mitigate many challenges the world is facing. It has a critical yet overlooked role in helping us improve global nutrition, reduce our impact on the environment, and adapt to climate change. Now, here we have the Pollyanna sort of view that's always woven into these articles, or that academicians always end up with, that somehow magically it'll all fix itself if we just do the right thing. Well, we're past the point of no return. We're through the guardrail. Mathematically, statistically, there's no going back to the planet we've known in any time frame that matters. And the sooner people face that, the sooner we might actually join together in a common effort that could yet salvage what's left, instead of pretending somehow it's going to magically fix itself. And so many in academia are forced or paid or pressured to put out these Pollyanna-type reports. The sixth great mass extinction is here, now. Die-off is happening all over the globe. And for those who are willing to take a shocking glimpse of the die-offs that are occurring all over the globe at blinding speed, search this title on Google. Mass Animal Deaths 2017, and you'll get a taste of what's happening every single day. The actual incidents, where it happened, and the articles that covered it, all over the globe, every day. Can't hide this much longer. Back to the desperation of the power structure that I've covered again and again and again. Another headline. Geoengineering may be our only hope for surviving climate change. According to astrobiologist and planetary scientist David Grinspoon, humanity may need to turn to geoengineering to save our species from the effects of climate change. However, such efforts should be viewed as a last resort. Now, think of the absurdity of this headline. When climate engineering has been going on for 70 years, the whole of academia, with almost no exceptions, is either clinically blind, criminally incompetent to hold the position they hold as a quote-unquote expert, or they're lying. Take your pick. But what an absurd headline. And consider this as well. Do any of us think, given the severity of what's unfolding on our planet, much of it actually caused by climate engineering, do we think that governments around the globe wouldn't intervene with the climate without asking our permission? Do we really believe that? What an absurd notion. They detonated 2,000 plus nuclear bombs, many in our own country. And by the way, dozens and dozens of biological tests in our own country conducted by our own military against our own civilians. This is business as usual. But when we have headlines like this, pretending that geoengineering isn't already going on and pretending that somehow it could be a means to stay off what's unfolding instead of fueling it, absurd. And people like this should be held accountable. In fact, I encourage anyone to look up David Grinspoon and send him some emails saying that he needs to show some responsibility or the population will hold him accountable for his participation in the cover-up of climate engineering. Another headline, CO2 is changing the jet stream in ways that will create more Harveys. Climate science predicted a weaker jet stream and Harvey stalled because of a weakened jet stream. Another blatant, glaring lie. Not that CO2 isn't a problem. It is a problem. Methane is a bigger problem in the atmosphere. But Harvey stalled because of radio frequency microwave transmission manipulation of the storm. Another glaring lie from academia. And let's move on to other headlines. I'm running out of time. I want to cover as much as I can. How hot is it down under in Australia? Because let's remember, climate engineering, one of the primary goals, in addition to weather warfare, in addition to biological warfare, is to mask the true severity of damage to the climate while inflicting even more damage at the same time. We must remember that. But what are the headlines that we're not seeing? So how hot is it down under in Australia after the headlines of unusually cold weather I reported last week in a small zone of the most populated regions of Australia, Southeast Australia, which was a geoengineered event to divert attention from the hottest winter ever recorded in Australia. How are the temperatures now? New South Wales reaches 40 degrees C in the first days of spring, record highs. Another headline from Australia, Hume Highway cut by brush fire, temperature records tumble as East Coast swelters. The main highway from this report, the main highway between Sydney and Canberra was cut by brush fire in parts of New South Wales, reached 40 degrees Celsius in September for the first time on record. We don't hear about that here, do we? Another headline from down under. Parched central Queensland set to burn with heat wave on horizon. By the weekend, central Queensland is set to be heading into a heat wave which forecasters say has no end in sight. The Bureau of Meteorology senior forecaster John Hall said temperatures across the state would be well above the September average. And for all those people who so hate Al Gore, and I've stated too many times to even count my disdain for Mr. Gore, he's a hypocrite, he's a criminal, he's a part of the power structure, flies around in private jets, owning stock in companies he claims to be fighting, but that doesn't change reality. People need to get over their bias and look at facts, frontline facts. And if we are to have any chance of fighting climate engineering, these two principles must be remembered. No legitimate discussion about the state of the climate without discussing climate engineering first and foremost, and no legitimate discussion about climate engineering without including chemically ice-nucleated, jet stream manipulated, engineered cool downs. Both points must be remembered always. Another headline that reveals the distractions that were supplied by the hurricanes. As hurricanes and floods grab headlines, heat waves associated with climate change and climate engineering are claiming lives around the world. Another headline, running out of time, bear with me, I'm going to speed things up. Study, Montana's average temperature continues to increase, from Bozeman, Montana. Montana's average temperature continues to increase, leading to fire and growing seasons to last longer and causing drought conditions to increase in frequency and duration, a new report said. No mention of climate engineering, which is the single greatest causal factor behind the fire, forest fires and flash droughts occurring around the globe. Climate engineering, not mentioned. Another headline, heat wave, 6 days of record temperatures and counting. From Chicago, for the sixth day in a row, Chicago set new record for heat as the start of autumn has felt more like the middle of summer. Temperatures were in or near the mid-90s for 6 days in a row. Go to geoengineeringwatch.org and look at the Climate Engineering is Creating Freeze-Fry Scenarios article. It's under Top Stories in Recent. You can see it clearly from the very bright maps that go with that thumbnail. I covered this about 10 days ago, that this was coming, the weather whiplash scenarios that climate engineering is fueling. Freeze-fry scenarios. Learn more about what's happening and why at geoengineeringwatch.org. And if you want to share that data with others, if you want to wake others up to this issue, again, we have supplied now on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org the hardest hitting, most credible informational data available. Use credible data to wake others up. That's how we gain traction in this battle. From this report, the official temperature in Chicago hit 91 early Monday afternoon, beating the old record for September. Again, the extremely warm temperatures will continue around the Great Lakes and the eastern U.S. Chicago is forecast, or should I say scheduled, to have temperatures in the mid to upper 80s, even with rain going into October, while snow with temperatures in the high 40s to even 50 degrees, yes, the chemical ice nucleation can make it snow at those temperatures, is scheduled further west. Freeze-fry scenarios, geoengineering, the bottom line. Another headline. Late September heat wave leaves climate experts stunned. Don't hear about that on many of the mainstream stations, do we? They just say unseasonably warm. They downplay it. But if it's an engineered cool down, they say deadly cold. When it's deadly heat, they say unseasonably warm because they don't want you to know how severe it is. And by the way, on the records that we see happening, our statistics are being underreported, not overreported as many people would like to believe, underreported. They are trying to hide the true severity of the abrupt climate shift, which we are now all free-falling into. From this report of the stunned climate scientists, there's never been a heat wave of this duration and magnitude this late in the season. That's the bottom line. Century-old records across the Midwest and East Coast are being shattered by a monster late September heat wave, the kind of extreme weather we can expect to get much worse. And do we think, again, the governments aren't going to climate engineer without asking our permission? Do we really think that? Very naive notion. Warning, another headline. Montreal to shatter all-time heat records for the next 3 days. From this report, Mother Nature is obviously ashamed of the crappy weather we've had all this summer, which were engineered scenarios with lots of atmospheric spraying, because she's making up for it in tenfold. Nothing Mother Nature about this. This is anthropogenic insanity, intervening with the climate system. But of course, no mention of any of that with any of these articles. This weekend, the heat was borderline overwhelming in Montreal, and it's going to stay that way for most of the week. Headlines most people don't see. Let's get to the California drought, which many people think is over. Here's a headline. California drought causing valley land to sink. As California continues pumping groundwater in response to the historic drought in California, the Department of Water Resources today released a new report showing land in the San Joaquin Valley is sinking faster than ever before, nearly 2 inches per month in some locations. Can anybody imagine how significant that is? 2 inches? How long is the California aqueduct going to work when it sinks and no longer can flow water through it? Sinking land, known as subsidence, has occurred for decades in California because of excessive groundwater pumping during this drought conditions. A drought, by the way, that is absolutely, positively a result of climate engineering. For those that want to know more, search Engineered Drought Catastrophe Target California. And to clarify again, I'm not saying that a warming planet cannot also be a causal factor behind drought, but a warming planet, according to the laws of physics, must produce more overall rain, and that's not happening. Why is it not happening? Climate engineering. Again, Engineered Drought Catastrophe Target California. Learn more about it. But the drought is absolutely not over here, even though the official sites show, the drought monitor shows zero drought throughout Northern California, and yet the fuel moisture levels in the forests are at all-time historic lows. How do those two factors fit together? They don't. It's simply more downplaying of the severity of what's unfolding. Hide it by simply falsifying the data and pretending there's no drought. Turn a little rain on through the winter and everybody's pacified while the forest die-off, burn-downs continue. Our agencies are lying to us, and everyone within those agencies should be held criminally responsible for their part in helping to hide the cataclysm of climate engineering. Another headline, drought, a cause of riots. This is new from this last week. Science community has been working on the possibility of a relationship. Think how absurd this report is. A relationship between periods of drought and rioting for several years. Remember the Middle Eastern countries that I stated over and over, our country droughted out and destabilized those populations before toppling their governments. And now we have a science study to back that up. The University of Geneva, operating in partnership with the University of Heidelberg and Lucerne in Switzerland, has firmly verified this hypothesis by studying 1,800 riots that occurred over a 20-year period in sub-Saharan Africa. These researchers observed a systematic link between the sudden depletion of water resources and the outbreak of unrest. They also succeeded in quantifying the impact of geographic and social factors on the same link. The findings, which underlie the importance of the role of political institutions in the event of a drought. Did this take a team of scientists to figure out when there's not enough to eat or drink that societies will be destabilized? Is this the best we can get from academia, these types of studies? I want to continue. I'm running out of time. Total ozone layer collapse continues, by the way, and I'll have a video report out with that soon. I hope in about a week that will include an exchange I will have with the former NASA engineer that's working directly with geoengineeringwatch.org. We'll try to supply the most critical frontline data in about a week, but that continues also. And I stress, if we had no other challenges to face but ozone layer collapse, if it in fact collapses in a decade or less, and that's mathematically where we're headed, game over. That one factor alone. Now let's add everything else to that. Again, more complete report coming on that in about a week, I hope. Another headline, and this was from earlier this year, and I want to This is an incredibly critical factor, the cryosphere, the ice deposits on the planet, which are part of how the planet regulates its temperature. When we lose those ice deposits, we enter a likely Venus scenario, a runaway event, and it appears that's what we're in right now. Here's a headline from earlier this year, and follow me through with this as I link these headlines together. Arctic ice sets new record low for winter. Scientists state that Arctic sea ice appears to have reached its annual maximum extent on the 7th of March. Now, record low earlier this year, Arctic sea ice, record low. Follow me through again. Here's another headline from 2016. Listen carefully. Despite cloudy, cool summers, Arctic sea ice hits second lowest level. This is in 2016. It was record low again this year, 2017. Cloudy, cool summers. It's called geoengineering. Constant spraying over the poles. Constant. Solar radiation management to block the sun and chemical ice nucleation, and still the record lows keep coming because climate engineering can create short-term toxic cool downs at the cost of a worsened overall warming. Should be no surprise. Now here's a headline from this week. Listen carefully again. Cloudy cool August restrains melt of Arctic ice. Arctic sea ice this summer dropped to its stated eighth lowest level on record, with cooler than normal August temperatures, which kept the melt to a minimum. More geoengineering, more chemical ice nucleation. Now, here's the important part. How can we have a record low start to the year in Arctic ice? We have record warm temperatures all year long. Arctic's warming twice as fast as the rest of the world, and somehow we're at the eighth lowest Arctic ice extent this September. And extent is the surface area. And now consider this. The mass of ice is at an all-time low. That's the volume of the ice. How can you have more surface area but less overall mass on a warming world with the oceans warming much faster, record ice at the beginning of the year? It's called chemical ice nucleation, an ice-nucleated slushy surface. And they are hiding the severity of what's unfolding in the Arctic. On that note, let's consider this headline. At 2017 minimum, which just happened, scientists ask, is Arctic entering the, quote, thin ice age? Again, volume at all-time low. From this report, the Arctic set still another record that concerns scientists. No other 12-month period, September 2016 through August 2017, has had such persistently low sea ice extent levels. How can you have record lows and be the eighth lowest? How is that possible? They're lying about temperatures, they're lying about the ozone exposure, and they're lying about the amount of ice melt-off, period. Another headline. Activity along ice-free northern sea route picks up. If you have so much ice and you have the disinformation sites touting a record ice buildup in the Arctic during August, how can you have the most ships ever voyaging through an ice-free zone? From this report, the entire northern shipping route is now ice-free. The Institute shows that there is only some scattered ice around the Vilkinski Strait, the area separating the Kara Sea and the Laptev Sea. Many commercial ships are making the most conditions with the North Sea route completely ice-free, with 94 vessels now navigating along that route. connect the dots. We're being lied to. Climate engineering is their last-ditch effort. They're trying to make it appear as if it's working when it is not. It's making a bad situation far worse overall. From Antarctica, yet another giant iceberg has broken free from Antarctica. This is new. This is not the Larsen Sea Shelf. This is a new, massive 100-square-mile iceberg that is the buttress for the land-based ice that will now begin to slide off much more rapidly. And by the way, again, record. Here's a headline about Antarctica. This is a headline from this week. Attack from two sides. Arctic sea ice hits another record low. Record low. And we don't hear about that one. We'll only hear about the fictitious eighth lowest extent in the Arctic when, again, the mass is at all-time low. Bottom line, there's a lot of headlines I could cover, by the way. Here's one more. Cities sue big oil for damages from rising seas. Oakland and San Francisco want oil companies to pay for climate change adaptation programs. Top lawyers from Oakland, San Francisco, and California announced yesterday that they filed lawsuits against five of the world's biggest oil companies for damages related to climate change when the ice melts, seas rise. Can't hide that much longer. What happens when the cryosphere, Earth's ice deposits, melt off and the atmosphere saturates with heat-trapping greenhouse gases like CO2? Even worse, methane. Again, Venus syndrome is what happens. That's the bottom line with all the geopolitical insanity, the military-industrial insanity, the quest for resources, total desperation of the power structure. It all boils down to biosphere implosion. That's the bottom line. Look up Venus syndrome, and you'll see where we're headed at blinding speed. And all the while, the grand and lethal global geoengineering experiment is further fueling the fire and being ramped up further under the Trump administration. Climate engineering was never about the greater good. It was always about power and control and keeping business as usual for as long as possible by dividing and confusing populations in regard to the true extent of biosphere damage. In an attempt to hide the damage, climate engineering has exponentially magnified the damage, and unfortunately, the majority of populations are all too happy to be pacified and remain in their climate denial headlines, which are fed to them. The planet is descending into a runaway climate shift. Climate engineering is helping to fuel the fire. Climate engineering is an existential threat. We must expose and stop climate engineering, or nothing else will matter. I'm out of time. I want to finish with this. The challenges we collectively face are immense, and the threats are immediate and can seem insurmountable, but we must never succumb to the patently false notion that we're powerless. We're not. We must not succumb to the angst and anguish of the ever-darkening horizon, and we must remember always that those who currently wield power are not gods. They're nothing more than twisted, psychotic, and desperately afraid individuals. At this most critical time in the history of the human race, the battle for the greater good has been long and arduous, but we must all shake off our battle fatigue and press on. During the most trying times of my life, when I faced challenges that part of me believed could not be overcome, I would visualize a distant and beautiful mountain rising up out of an endless expanse of dark and foreboding forest that lay before me. In my visualization, this forest separated me by a great distance from this mountain that every fiber of my being yearned to reach. And within, I would force myself to remember that if I could summon the courage to march headlong into the dark abyss toward the mountain and to keep my compass heading, I would, no matter what, eventually reach and stand on this mountain. And we must remember, when we have that feeling, that notion that we can't get there from here, that we can't accomplish what must be done, because that distance looks too great, if we keep our compass heading, no matter how deep and dark the forest is, and we keep marching in the right direction, making every day count, and if we refuse to yield to the insanity that surrounds us all, we will all reach that mountain. We will make a difference, even at this late hour. I'll end with this, which we must all remember and consider. We cannot effectively fight the most critical battle of exposing and halting the climate engineering weather warfare assault without an army of the awakened. That's the first and most important leap in the right direction. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is about raising an army of the awakened. When dedicated experts in every arena finally realize, are forced to realize, that the fight to expose and halt climate engineering is nothing less than a fight for life. At that point, we have a real chance of turning the tide. We must all stand and make our voices heard, no matter what comes. Arm yourself with credible data. Share it with those around you. Start spot fires of awareness that will merge into a blaze that can't be put out if we all work together. We must make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org.